We are studying about the prophecy fulfilled in Christ. Today, we are going to study that there was a prophecy that Jesus Christ will be the priest. When the priesthood started, it started by Moses and Aaron. Aaron was the first high priest, and his children were the priests. And according to the word of God, all priests should come from the Levites. If any other person wanted to be a priest which is not in Levites, and we saw, we don't have time to go in details, some people start saying, why Aaron has to be priest? Then Moses went to God and God says, okay, bring the 12 rods. You remember that? And put those rods in the Ark of the Covenant. And the only Aaron's rod was budded. And so he was the priest and high priest. One time, Miriam came along. We read in Numbers. And she came along and she started saying, why Moses has to be leader? And he married the Ethiopian lady. Why cannot we do the service to the Lord? And then Moses went to God and said, Lord, what should I do? God spoke to the children of Israel. God says, I talked to my servants in a dream and vision. But I talked to Moses face to face. And now you went against my servant. So what happened? Right away, she became a leper. And so God did not want anyone interfering with the Moses and Aaron's ministry. And so this ministry was given to Levites. And most of the Levites people, they were doing the tabernacle service. How can Jesus Christ be a priest? Because Jesus Christ, he was not born in the Levites family. Jesus Christ was born in the Judas family. And the Judas family, King David was born. So Jesus Christ was going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that prophecy has to fulfill that he will be king. But at the same time, now the prophecy is saying Jesus Christ should be a priest. Now, how it happened, God knows everything and God decides everything from the beginning. But it takes time for mankind to understand the plan of God. Let's read the book of Psalm 110, verse 4.
The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Now he says, the Lord has sworn, means he had an oath, he promised. There will be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now nobody knew who the Melchizedek was. But this was prophesied by God, or by the man of God. And here the word of God is saying, this kind of priest is coming. And this priest is forever an everlasting priest. Now, when God says something, he fulfills. We want to read a couple of verses. Numbers 23, verse 19.
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?
Now, here the word of God is saying, our God is not a man. He is not a liar. When he said something, he fulfills it. So when you read the Bible and there are promises given to you, you should believe it and receive it, because this is God's promises and he has put it in the word of God. So we should not be wavery-minded. When God said it, I believe it and it settles it. God never changes his word. Book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8.
The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
the word of God will stand forever. Means says the grass will wither, the flowers will wither, everything what we see with your eyes one day is going to vanish away. But the word of God is forever. And the same way that Peter noted the same words, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25. He repeated these words to say that the word of God is given to us, and that word of God is going to live forever.
But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Now here is saying, the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And that means God speaks to you. Everything God's plan for you is given to us. Jesus Christ came as the messenger of God. He is the prophet of God. He is the apostle of God. He is the shepherd of God. Everything what we need, we can get it through Jesus Christ. And so, St. Peter is saying, this word, the word of God, is going to endure forever. The heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. So we have the assurance, whatever the God says, he fulfills. Now when he talked about the high priest or the priest according to the order of Melchizedek, nobody knew. Only we saw the first time the Melchizedek name came in Genesis chapter 14. Please read. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all.
Now here we see Abraham took his armies, fought with the enemies, weary and tired and hungry. Here comes Jesus Christ as the king and priest. He could not recognize him. And he comes and blesses him, gives him the bread and the wine, and he gives the tithe to the king or the priest. And the word of God says, Levites, first time they learned from their life, Abraham is the one gave the tithes, and they learned from Abraham. Many people are saying, giving tithe is the law. No, it was before the law he gave the tithe. So he loved the Lord, but he didn't know who the man was. I think surely this Abraham might have tried to find out where this king comes and where this priest comes. But he could not find his mother, his father, or his relatives, or nobody. There was no trace. So now we know this was not an ordinary man. This was the king and priest which God the Father promised to be high priest forever. Now here we see Jesus Christ is not only a prophet. We learn he came as a prophet. He's going to be a king, and he is a priest. Now, many people do not know what Jesus Christ is doing today. Jesus Christ is today as our high priest, as your and my mediator, standing before the God in heaven and praying for you and for me, and he is fighting the battle for you and for me. When the devil come to accuse you, he is our high priest, lawyer, mediator. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and read first 6 verses.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus.
Now he's saying Jesus Christ is apostle as well as the high priest, anointed by God, sent by God, and God has sent Jesus Christ as the head of the church. Just like apostles, they go and establish the churches and they head up the church. So he is not only apostle, but he is our high priest. Keep on reading.
Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
See here, showing the comparison between Moses and Jesus. Jesus Christ is not an ordinary priest. Moses was working in the tabernacle or anointing the Aaron and his sons as a priest. But he says still that tabernacle was handmade tabernacle. But there is a tabernacle God made himself in heaven. And Moses was given the pattern what the tabernacle is in heaven. And so he says, Moses is a faithful man, but Jesus Christ is the greater one. He is the one over all the temple of God. And he says, what is the temple of God? You and me are the temple of God. So he is our high priest. He is your high priest. And he is our mediator working for us. Let's go to the chapter 5 and start reading from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 5.
For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant, and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron.
Now he is comparing with the Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. He was chosen from man. He was a, ordinary person, means sinful man, ordinary man, chosen to do the service of God. So Aaron's ministry and Jesus' ministry, when you compare, Jesus is the greater than Aaron. Let's read. Keep on reading.
As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Now see, here he's saying Aaron's priesthood is temporarily, but the priesthood of Jesus Christ is forever. And he says it is written somewhere that was his trying to say in Psalm 110 verse 4, we already read it, that Jesus Christ was going to be a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ's priesthood is forever. Verse 10, same chapter, Hebrews 5:10.
Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
See, the call of God and a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now the Aarons were chosen by Moses, and God gave them grace to work in the tabernacle. But he says Jesus Christ was called by God and ordained by God as the order of Melchizedek. Okay, let's go to the chapter 7, Hebrews 7, starting from verse 1.
For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace.
Now see, is giving example who this priest was. He was not only a priest, but he was a king. And when you say king, what kind of king? The king of peace. And we know Isaiah 9:6 says Jesus Christ is called what? Prince of peace. So there is none king like Jesus Christ, and there is none priest like Jesus Christ. Keep on reading.
Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually.
See, abideth a priest continually, because the Aaron's priesthood was not permanent priesthood. Okay, I will change it from there to verse 11.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron?
Now here is saying, if God already set up the priesthood, and Aaron was doing the priest's work, then his children's children, they keep on doing continuously, what was the reason or necessity to make another priest according to the order of Melchizedek? Now he's giving an answer here in this chapter.
For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
Now he says when the priesthood is going to change, then the God is going to change the law also. Because according to the law, Aaron and his family, they're supposed to be priests. But he says now if the priest is going to change, then the law has to change.
For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood.
Now he's saying the priesthood was given to the Aaron and Levite's family, and that priesthood has to be continued. And now when you say another priest is coming, God never told Moses that the time will come, I'm going to change the priesthood from Levites to Judah. He never said that. And so only he made an oath in the word of God, and people didn't know, Moses didn't know that Jesus Christ will be the priest.
And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life.
The other one was made according to law, but he says this priest, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, means Jesus Christ is living forever. The Aaron can live for a while and then he dies, and other priests will die. But Jesus Christ is living forever, and that's what the plan of God. Okay, please read.
For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment, going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Now see, he is repeating again the Psalm 110 verse 4. But he's saying this, all the other priests, they were chosen by men, they had weaknesses, they were doing according to the law. But Jesus Christ, who was going to be the high priest, he was not an ordinary man, but he was chosen by God as an order of Melchizedek.
By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood.
See, this man, he's talking about Jesus. Other priests made mistake. Other priests cannot live forever. But Jesus Christ was chosen by God, and he says, unchangeable priesthood. The unchangeable priesthood is given to Jesus Christ. Other people can get confused what God says to Aaron and his family, and now he's saying unchangeable priesthood is given to Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Numbers chapter 25 and start reading from verse 7 to 13. Now here is the one of the priests coming from Aaron's family, and he did a great work when there was sin in the camp, and he went and destroyed the people who were committing sin, and then God blessed him.
And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel.
Now when you say everlasting priesthood, God promised to the Aaron's family, and all of a sudden we read in a book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 24, unchangeable priesthood. Now what happened, given to everlasting priesthood to these Israeli people through the Aaron's family, why God has to change it? And the word of God says why it happened, because God wanted these children of Israeli people to be blessed. But they did not understand the plan of God. And so that's why when you read book of Jeremiah chapter 31, start reading from verse 31 to 34.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord.
God made a covenant with these people. God chosen these people, but they did not do according to the will of God. Okay, keep on reading. Up to 34.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That only happened in Christ. Before that, each time they commit sin, they have to bring the sacrifice. And each time they commit sin, they bring the sacrifice, and when their sins will be covered. And when they commit sin again, their sins will be uncovered. So they have to keep on bringing sacrifice one after another. But here he says, God is saying, I am going to make a new covenant with these people. I will remember their sin no more. That means he will forgive their sins. That only happened to us when Jesus Christ made the new covenant with his own blood. Now, if you go to the book of Exodus, chapter 24, and start reading from verse 6 to 8. That was the covenant made with the children of Israel by the blood of bulls and goats.
And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient." And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words."
See, he said the blood of the covenant and made by the blood of the bulls and goats and the cow's blood. Go to the Matthew chapter 26.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins."
Now when he took the cup and he said, "This is the New Testament," and he made it with his blood. So when he took the blood and said, "This is the covenant I'm making, a promise I'm making." What promise? Your sins will be forgiven. And there will be no trace of our sins. That's what the word of God says. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Only blood of Jesus Christ has the power. So the word of God is saying in the Old Testament, the priests were doing sacrifice for themselves and for others, but the Jesus Christ took his own blood and entered into the heavenlies. Let's read one more time, book of Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. We are going to stop here, and half of the part we will be coming back and doing it.
Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law.
See what he's trying to say? The all other priests, they were doing the priest's works according to the law. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he never said to anybody, "I want to be a priest, and I am a priest." Don't you know the Psalm 110 verse 4, it says, "I am the priest as the order of Melchizedek, and you people are doing wrong kind of thing." He didn't say it. He says if he would have done it, he will be doing according to the law. The other priest did it, so he would be doing the same thing. He cannot do anything else. You remember when some of the people he prayed for, the people who are leprosy and things like that, he said, "Show to the priest and do according to what they say." And then they will go to the priest and they say, "Okay, do the sacrifice of this and that," and they will do it. And people are mixed up. He said, why Jesus Christ told those people to go and give the sacrifice what the priest says? Why cannot we do now? That sacrifice was until the Christ's death. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and he paid all the penalties, and now we don't have to take the sacrifice or take the gift to the priest to forgive your sins. People are still doing it. But we don't have to do it because Jesus Christ paid the price once and for all. We go to Jesus Christ to ask forgiveness, not to go to priest and priest says, "Okay, give some kind of money," and they make a business out of it. So here he says, if he was on earth and if he would have done the priest work, he will be just like an ordinary priest. Not only that, they will not allow him to do it. They will say, "Kill him," because he is coming from Judah and the priesthood has to come from the Levites. So they would have killed him instantly. But he didn't say anything at that particular time.
Who serve unto the example and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. "For see," saith he, "that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises."
See, Now he is saying Jesus Christ is the better priest. He made a better covenant. He has a better promise for us. And he is our high priest, our apostle, our prophet, our mediator, our lawyer. And he is in the right tabernacle, which is not made by hand. When you're reading the book of Revelation, you will see there is a temple in heaven. That temple, you keep on reading until the chapter 16. When you come to the chapter 21, it says, in Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, there was no temple, and because the Jesus Christ is the temple, so there is no need of the temple in New Jerusalem. So what the people thinking, oh, that means the temple disappeared? No, temple is not disappear. Temple will be there in heaven. Jesus Christ will be high priest in heaven. And when you go to the New Jerusalem, he will be our King of Kings. So Jesus' ministry doesn't stop on earth. His ministry is already started in heaven as a high priest. And that high priest, we just read it in a book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. His priesthood is unchangeable. That means that priesthood is not going to change. So he started after he died, and he took his own blood, and he's entered into the heavenly places. So now he's already there interceding for you and for me. He is our mediator. He is praying for you and for me. And so now Jesus Christ is establishing a better promises for us. Now, when you're reading in the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, we read, it's also promised to the children of Israel, but that promise will fulfill when the millennium. But for us, Jesus Christ already established a new covenant with his blood. So now we are already in the new covenant. And so what we're studying today, Jesus Christ came into this world. He came as a babe in the manger, and he grew, he died for us, and he came to establish his kingdom in our heart. Now we are belong to his kingdom. He shed his precious blood, and now Paul is telling us we have the high priest. He's in heaven. He's our mediator, and he has a better promises, and he has made a better covenant, and he is going to be with us forever. And so the next week, God willing, we are going to learn that priesthood, Jesus Christ got it. He is going to give it to you and me. And we will be the priest with Jesus Christ, working with him in the 1,000 years reign as well as in eternity. Now, we are not coming from Levites. We are not coming from Judah. We have no rights to do anything. But through Jesus Christ, the God has given us the rights, not only the priests, but kings. But the next week, God willing, we are going to study more about what kind of priesthood we will have and what kind of kingdom and kings and priests we will have. As we read in the book of Psalms 110, verse 4, that God doesn't lie and his promises are true. So God has made a promise. Jesus Christ has made the promise to you and for me. He says, as I am sitting on the throne of my Father, I will give you a chance also to sit on my throne. And so the time is coming, but we are right now, we are standing here as the children of God, but we are not only children, we are the bride of Christ. So now just think, the children of Israel called friend. We are called the bride. So we have much more blessings than the children of Israel. Because he says the priesthood is cut up. Because the priesthood was, he says, everlasting, but is changed from Levites to Judah. And now that priesthood, Jesus Christ became a high priest forever, and his priesthood is unchangeable. It's going to be everlasting. So when you're reading in the Bible, in a book of Revelation, and when you see the in Jerusalem, we didn't see the temple, that doesn't mean temple disappear. That Jerusalem is not the temple worship. Jerusalem is the place the kings sits there and do the ruling. Just like I can give you the example, the Washington is the capital of our country. But the New York is the capital of business. You understand? There are two different capitals. In New York is the business capital. Washington is the capital for ruling the country. The same way, the Jerusalem, New Jerusalem in heaven, will be the capital of ruling the whole world. But in heaven, there is a place where the Jesus Christ will be the high priest. So we will be serving him as a priest, that temple, for eternity. Then somebody say, how can you do two jobs? Can you do the two jobs? You go to work as a professor or the doctor or engineer or a soldier or officer. When you come home, you are a husband and a father. So we have different jobs. So the same way, Jesus Christ is going to be everlasting priest and he will be everlasting king. It's nothing difficult. Maybe hours of kingdom will be different hours, and the priesthood hours will be different hours, but he can do the both things, and we can do the both things. And so the millennium, Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will be our high priest on the millennium also. They are going to rebuild the temple. They are going to look for the red cow, and they are going to make the priests, and they are looking for the Ark of the Covenant, and they are preparing everything for the temple. But if you read in the Word of God, the Antichrist comes and destroys this temple and goes to the temples and say, I'm a God, and he defiles the temple. And the Word of God says, when Jesus Christ comes, he coming as a high priest, and he is rebuilding the temple, and then he will be not only high priest, he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so all of these things, God willing, we will study next week. Amen. Shall we rise? So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand Jesus Christ is our high priest. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful to you that you have called us with a definite high calling. And you have also made us priests and kings. So give us grace to understand our calling and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and live a clean and holy life, pleasing to our God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Bless us, O Lord, and use us mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.